Georgia's DBHDD is urging people to store and lock away all medications to prevent theft and keep them away from children and pets. Old medications can be disposed at Dropbox locations. Dropbox locations can be found at opioidresponse.info.
Hi, I'm Kalina Bowler. I worked for years in Atlanta as location manager in the state's film and television industry. On this podcast, we'll explore the people whose names you'll see in the credits when they roll. It's the credits from Georgia Public Broadcasting. You'll find many people in the film and television industry who wear many hats. One of them is Taraja Ramzes. He has credits in the art and camera departments and does stunts. Some of his major accomplishments include his stunt work on Marvel's Black Panther and Avengers Infinity War. Taraja is also an on-set dresser for a number of movies and TV shows like Stranger Things. That means he arranges objects on a production set to satisfy creative and logistical needs. We talked about his career in this diversifying industry and juggling the demands of parenting in Yollywood. When I joined him at his Atlanta warehouse, Taraja brought his young daughter to work. By the way, you'll hear her in the background. Here's Taraja giving me a tour of his creative space.
This is like an artist's warehouse where it's a bunch of artists rent out different spaces. Yeah. I use it mostly for storage, but sometimes I build a set here and shoot something of my own, or I usually just keep all my art equipment here. And so I got right here, I got about 30 or 40 flats. I put them up sometimes, paint them, strip them, and you know, do it again. Yeah. I also got a lot of props in here. I got like breakaway glass, paint, and yeah, everything I need for as far as art department, special effects and stuff like that. And, these are all my tools. I'm right now getting my kit together. I got an on-set job for Stranger Things coming up, and so I'm just trying to get everything organized and ready to go. So
what are some of the things in your toolkit that you have to have with you? Because you're about to do on-set set deck. Mm-hmm. So what is that main kit for you?
My main kit are my hands, because I'm always moving furniture. And after that comes my cleaning kit, because I always either have to clean something up, wipe down a window, or you know, make something nice and pretty. Sometimes, like on a show like Walking Dead, I got to make it dirty. So I also got like dirt I keep with me and other little special sprays and adhesives. And I've got a mobile art department, so I can pretty much do anything with my cart.
Can you take us through some of the main tools that we see in your kit?
I got a blowtorch, you know, in case I gotta light a million candles in about 30-second period. It's my army box full of sockets and different tools. On a day-to-day basis, I'll figure out what I need, because sometimes we might just be at a river all day and I might not have to do anything, or we might be in a jail cell and I gotta, you know, make it dirtier, and I'll keep my dirt spray. If something is too clean, I'll just make it look dirty. And I also got my little paint pump. I make a little mixture of like a paint color and I'll spray it on like a wall or something. You know, everything is make-believe. This business that we work in is make-believe, so you got to be able to, you know, roll with the punches and make it up as you go.
When you started, what was one of the first projects you did?
My very first job was I was a casting assistant on a music video for a guy named Chicago Chris. He was a casting director I forget who the music video was for, but our job was just to pick the women that were supposed to be in the music video, which is like, maybe that's what made me say, no, this is the business that I want to be in. You know, just getting to pick women who's going to be in this music video. But my second job was cleaning out the backyard of an art director's warehouse. So it went from one extreme to the next extreme. So it was like very glamorous one day, then the next day it was just hard work and sweat. And it was like, but that balance really made me appreciate it too, because, you know, in this business, you can have your highs and your lows, but it's still the movie business.
You have so many titles to your name. I think you probably have over 40 titles on your IMDb for set deck, 15 to 20 for stunt work at this point. You are what a lot of people would consider a triple, quadruple threat, whatever. What is your preferred title when you read a call sheet?
I'm a jack of all trades, so I try to get in where I fit in. But mostly, you know, art is my background and film is my background. I went to school for filmmaking. Yeah. And my dad was an artist and my mom was a photographer. So it's kind of a natural combination for me to do the film. And so,
would you say that your parents were your mentors, or do you have specific mentors in the industry other than, you know, your amazing creative parents?
My parents were my main influence, and I had a cousin who was also a martial artist. You know, martial arts is my background, too. I've been doing that since I was about 5. I was on Black Panther as a stunt person for about a month, and that was, like, one of the best experiences of my life. I got to work with some of the top martial artists in the world, people that I grew up watching on TV, like Clayton Barber, and the guy that's the stunt double for Black Panther, he's one of the best trickers in the world. Like, I was just amazed seeing what he can do, and what he can do is like 100 times what I can do. So that was very impressive, and I was admiring a lot of people on set because it was just a beautiful experience. I wish I knew earlier the probability of me getting into the stunt world, because, you know, that was something I always wanted to do as a kid, was stunts. And once I met a couple of stunt coordinators and was, you know, I started inquiring about what it takes to be a stunt guy, I figured, yeah, I could do this too. You know, I've been taking falls and getting beat up my whole life, so might as well do it for a paycheck, you know, and do it because I love it, you know, because that's my passion, really.
What is a piece of advice from somebody that you admire, that you cherish to this day? What is some piece of advice you hold close to your heart?
Move or die. That was by the infamous Carl Johnson. Carl Johnson was he's an electrician that worked here in Atlanta. Dude, he's legendary here in Atlanta. He worked on pretty much every project here in Atlanta. He passed away, but, you know, he mentored so many black filmmakers here in Atlanta. You know, so many people were given opportunities because of Carl Johnson, you know, so.
Yeah, move or die. Literally, move or die is a serious mantra. I keep that in the back of my mind when I feel like, oh, I don't know if I could do this. Move or die. Oh, okay. It's in my head. It won't go away. And he was just a fatherly figure to a lot of us. And I miss him dearly. It was a big loss.
Yeah.
How do you feel the landscape for black people in the film industry in Georgia? How has it changed since, in our time and in your time in the industry, have you seen significant change?
I think I have seen significant change. When I first started on set dressing, I probably used to be maybe the only black guy on set outside of maybe one electrician, or, you know, there's probably maybe one in every other department. But now I'm seeing an influx of, you know, ethnicities and stuff, especially even the more Hispanic people, and seeing more Asians, and I'm seeing more women behind the camera now, which is, you know, almost unheard of a lot back in the day. More, you know, black women behind camera, you know, as far as being directors and producers and actual, like, camera department. You know, it's getting more diverse, you know, as the days go by, which I think is a good thing. You know, and hopefully, you know, the art will start reflecting the diversity of the people behind the camera.
What is something that you'd like to see? Is there a little bit of a wish list of people that you'd like to see behind camera, or, you know, in the staff? Or have you met a black female grip before? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, some departments still, I'm not going to say every department is as diverse as they should be, you know, because a lot of this business is based on nepotism and who you know. I think this business is run by predominantly, you know, Caucasian demographics. So, you know, as more people of color get into positions of power, I think things will start happening where you'll see more people of color in different positions because, you know, there's more people of color, they'll hire more people that they know. So I think that's just, it's just the natural way of the world.
You have your daughter here. I think she's trying to say that the one thing you lack in this warehouse, Daddy, are napkins and wipes.
I got wipes. We were just talking about, like, somebody needs to open up, like, a mobile production daycare. So, like, for all the people that are in the film industry and don't have, you know, proper daycare, there would be, like, a daycare that would go around and pick up your kids and, you know, something like that, at least for Atlanta filmmakers. Because I know I'm not the only one with the problem.
You know what? I am so glad you mentioned that. We have way, 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 way too many companies that pet sit.
Yeah.
And there aren't a lot of companies that do on-set or babysitting.
Yeah.
Is this industry something that you want your children to aspire to?
Yes and no, because it takes a lot of your time away from family. And yes, because, I mean, it's fun. The work is fun. I know my kids will love it. My daughters are entertainers. They're like funniest people I know in the world. My son, he's already a ninja. So it's like they've already kind of like naturally kind of going that way. And they come to set sometimes too, and they like, they see the whole world and they're like, they're amazed by it, and they want to be involved. So I'm not going to tell them not to do it, but I want them to be, you know, knowing what they, I want them to know what they get into. My daughters are pretty, the ones that came to set, like the first thing they went to was the camera. Like they, one daughter was like looking in the camera, and the other one was like trying to figure out how to work it and if she can do the panning and the zooming and stuff. So, and I've had dreams as a kid, and the ability to make those dreams come true has been presented in front of me, and I've been taking advantage of it. You know, I don't want people to know that that's what life is about, and I try to do the same thing, you know.
I love talking to you. I always did. You're always very sweet. You're always very kind to me. To see what you have become in this industry, for me, personally, knowing you, I'm in awe of you now. So thank you for doing this.
So I appreciate it. Thank you for interviewing me.
That's Taraja Ramses talking about his work as an on-set dresser for the popular series Stranger Things. And true to form, he recently did stunts for CBS's MacGyver. Keep up the good work, Taraja. And that's it for us today. But we want to hear from you. If you work in the film industry, tell us what you do. We'd love to meet you. You can reach us at thecredits@gpb.org and subscribe to us on iTunes and at thecreditspodcast.com. Sean Powers produces the show and Don Smith edits it. Our music is by MBB. The Credits is a production of Georgia Public Broadcasting. I'm Kalina Bowler. See you after the movies.